Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
We have a manifest that indicates that there was 9 people on board the aircraft.
Tonight is for Kobe.
You know, it makes you realize that you got to make every day count.
We need to cut the influence of the defense industry on the Department of Defense.
I want ambassadors that are chosen by me. I have a right to hire and fire ambassadors.
She ran her office as a Hillary Clinton campaign office.
You have to keep moving. You have to keep going. Put one foot in front of the other, smile, and just keep on rolling.
Wow. Hey, good morning to you. Happy Monday to you. And here we are, a little fog outside this morning. So when you head out the door, don't be surprised by that. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. And here along with Trish and Denise this morning. And
good morning.
Good morning.
The first thing that everyone's been talking about today, obviously, is this Kobe Bryant story.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Still developing. From what I can tell, nothing new overnight in terms of the victims. We know who 5 of them are. We don't know the other 3 yet.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of waiting to find out later today. Did you watch the news conference the Sheriff's Department did yesterday on this? Happened to be sitting at home when it came on. And the sheriff out there just chewed TMZ out.
Oh, really?
Chewed them out for
releasing a name.
Releasing, like, they, of course, it was breaking news to TMZ. I don't know who tipped them off that it was Kobe Bryant involved.
How did they know? How was that the first releasing of the name?
I heard somebody on ESPN say, you know, hate them or love them, they tend to be the outlet these days that is first with this celebrity kind of news.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I don't follow anything out of TMZ on a regular basis, but it was just weird yesterday. Sue, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always... You're right. Love them or hate them, they're usually right.
Yes. I know, it's like, but your gut instinct still, when I saw that TMZ was the first reporting, and I'm like, really?
Ooh.
And
then
are
you're
we
like,
sure?
Oh,
then you're like, oh, yeah.
It's probably right. Yeah. If it's tragic or awful, it's probably right.
Yeah, true. Well, you know, we'll get to hopefully some more details on that today, but what a horrible tragedy.
What a tragedy.
I don't think I ever watched Kobe play in person. But the night of his final game, I remember we watched a little bit of the first quarter, and my wife and I went to bed. My son was sitting up watching the game, and a little after halftime, sometime in the third period, he comes upstairs. We'd just gone to sleep. He bangs on the door, insists that we get up and come back downstairs because Kobe is pouring it on.
Yeah.
Love it.
And we got up, we went back downstairs, and we watched him finish that game with 60 points in his final game. It was pretty amazing to see.
Amazing.
And I'm glad now that I got to watch
that's
that.
A cool story.
That is cool.
Yeah. So that's kind of going to be what everything focuses on. And, you know, it kind of took the media's attention away this weekend from a lot of the other news that was going on, except, of course, the New York Times has the Bolton story out today. I love this. The New York Times hated John Bolton for the past 20 years. They've hated the man since he worked for George W. Bush. He is now a media darling.
He's their favorite.
This morning, because he's trying to pump up book sales with some outrageous claim, which the president denies. in a tweet this morning, by the way. So we'll talk more about all of that for you this morning. I've got Hans von Spakovsky coming up here about 6:10. You know, Denise, I did want to point something out here.
Sure.
I know that she hadn't had a great track record on Real or Fake News, but you do know our dear Trisha did go on the Glover show Friday night.
Oh, yeah?
And she kicked their butts, from what I heard, live on the radio.
I won.
She won.
Won what?
Halfwits.
Oh, okay, great.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was a technicality. Sue was there, too. Rachel ran away with the game.
Rachel was killing everybody to begin with. Something.
She was on fire. She was, I mean, it was, that girl is a lockbox of knowledge, but yeah, I won. So I'm picking all their music this week.
Awesome.
No,
you get to pick all the music for the Glover show.
They're just
all the
unaware.
Surprise. Kind of the beauty of Halfwits is there's really no rhyme or reason to who wins.
Yeah, that's true.
It did seem arbitrary at the end. At the end, Dave's like, it's 150 points, and if I like how you answered, I'll give you
win. Yeah, I love that. And I loved how Rachel said, wait a minute, this question keeps popping up over and over again, like they're repeating questions on the Battle of the Halfwits.
Oh, yeah.
Just so you know.
Not on purpose.
That's funny. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It was fun to listen to.
It was a big night.
Good time. Good time. Welcome back. We're just talking about the MSNBC anchor yesterday who made a flub up on the air while ad-libbing about the Kobe Bryant story. And even between the three of us in the studio, we disagree over what word came out of her mouth. All the headlines said that she used the N-word. Some sort of a slip up describing his career with the Los Angeles Lakers. That's not what I heard. The unfortunate part of that is on radio is that it's hard to distinguish clearly what she said. She claims that she just mixed up Lakers and she was trying to say Knicks and she was trying to say Lakers and she mixed up those two words. What's going to happen to her?
But as you pointed out, what did the Knicks have to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know why the Knicks were part of the conversation because he never played for the Knicks.
I don't know that there's anybody out there that believes she meant to say the N-word. It just sounds like she says the N-word.
There's a distinct difference between a G and a K.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't sound like a K.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Well, here's part of it, but of course we had to bleep it because we're not sure if she said it or not.
Because it sounds like the N-word.
Yeah.
Yes, because it sounds like the N-word.
It was perfectly cast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Kavita, if I could ask you to...
And she just kept on moving. This is a young lady named Allison Morris. I don't know anything about her. She's on MSNBC. I wouldn't recognize her if I saw her. But it makes me wonder what happens to her now? Because she's claiming it was a slip of the tongue, clearly, and she didn't say what everybody thinks she said. I don't know how long she's been a broadcaster. I will say though that I disagreed with the firing of Kevin Steincross, and I don't know that I would agree with this girl being fired either. So I hope that the bosses don't just overreact to public sentiment and they actually slow down and take a breath here before they jump in and suspend her or fire her. As someone who talks on the radio 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, and as somebody who worked in television news for 25 years, also as an anchor, and covering breaking news, it's an extraordinarily difficult job to ad-lib. They had no scripts here. They're sort of making this up as they went along, adding guests at the last minute, having conversations. Your mind is running on four tracks at one time. Oftentimes you've got a producer in your ear as a television news anchor telling you, hey, we're going to go live to Joe next. Joe's at the Staples Center. He's going to bring you this. He's going to bring you that while you're still talking, while the person's in your ear. Those things happen. And it's not difficult to, for your mind to play tricks on you and words to get jumbled. It's just not.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard that yet, Trisha's got it up, going to put it up there on the blog for us at 971talk.com/Cox. Go listen to it for yourself. See what you think. But again, it saddened me, and it continues to sadden me to this day, that Kevin Steincross, who started in this television market around the same time I did, back around 1993 or 1994, lost his entire career over one misspoken word on Martin Luther King Day, which we just passed last week.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you really need to punish him for that, you suspend him for a week or two to make the critics happy, but then you accept the fact that when you talk that much for a living, occasionally you might accidentally say something that you didn't intend to say. It doesn't mean you had ill intent in doing it. I think that's what this decision has got to come down to. Thoughts?
I just wish I understood her explanation a little better. And again, this was I had missed this, so I'm trying to read and catch up. But her explanation saying that she was combining Lakers and Knicks. Okay, I just want to know why she was talking about the Knicks, so I can understand that there genuinely was a mix up of those two words, which I can understand. And her explanation of saying the combination of the words, which I don't want to say because I don't want it to say. I'm afraid, you get afraid to say something wrong. But I want to know why she was talking about the Knicks if he didn't play for the Knicks, right?
Yeah, I don't think that she, I don't know why this happened. I think it was an accident.
I agree.
I think when you say the N-word on the air like that, there are going to be repercussions.
Yes.
It's not like she accidentally dropped an S-bomb.
Yeah.
It's just, especially given a high-profile black athlete passing, that was a very, very unfortunate thing for her, and she probably will lose her job over it. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's the same as the Kevin Steincross thing, because I think Kevin Steincross was in his head about the anger that happened to in New York. I think that that should have been taken into consideration. This, to me, is a little bit different.
Well, time will tell. MSNBC, to the best of my knowledge, has not released any statement on it beyond her tweet denying that she did that. So we'll see what happens. I mean, for the longest time in America, as we're well aware, there tends to be a different standard for conservatives in media versus people who aren't, who tend to give them a little more play. So we'll find out if that plays a role here. It is MSNBC.
There are human values that are shared around the world, and frankly, part of our strategic edge is that we stand for those things. But it only works if we're authentically living up to them, and that starts right at home. Because how can we be a force for stability and human rights and democracy and freedom abroad if our own president is echoing the vocabulary of dictators?
Oh, great Odin's raven!
Could somebody explain to me why Fox News gave an hour to that guy last night? Is it some effort on the part of the Fox News television system to gain some credibility with the left in this country? I fail to understand that. Of all the people, that guy. And then Chris Wallace gets on there with a straight face and lets him call the president of the United States a dictator. Got into an argument with some lady in the audience who was a Democrat who was pro-life. And she said, the platform of my party says I'm not welcome. And he said, I'm sorry, and I'd love to have your vote, but I agree with the platform. If you believe that we shouldn't be allowed to abort babies up to and including the day they're born, you'd have no role in our party. I mean, that was eye-opening, but it's not a surprise if you know who this guy is. He's a committed leftist with a scary ability to convince you he knows what the hell he's talking about. And in that, he's like a white Barack Obama. He really is. If you can be lulled into believing that he actually knows what he's talking about, if you listen to him talk about some of the military issues or whatever. Last night he chewed out the president because the president said that nobody was seriously injured in those rocket attacks except a few soldiers who reported some headaches or something. So then the report comes out that indeed some of them had concussions. Well, what's a symptom of a concussion? It's a headache. That's not downplaying the fact that they were injured. It's pointing out the fact that none of them lost any limbs. There was no loss of life here. People have concussions every day, and they recover from it, right? So Fox let Pete Buttigieg get on their air last night for a solid hour and tell lies about the president and insult him with very little pushback, in my opinion, the bits I watched from Chris Wallace. I didn't think Wallace was in a, I'll admit, difficult situation because he was in a room filled with Democrat voters in Iowa, giving this guy a national platform in which to spew his garbage. I was completely disappointed with it. I don't know who's making decisions up there now. I want to go to the other bite here. So, of course, the minute the thing started, just like the minute everything started yesterday, the immediate question, the first question was, what's your reaction to Kobe Bryant's death? So here's a 30-something-year-old mayor from South Bend, Indiana, or wherever he's from, Fort Wayne. I don't know even what city he's mayor of. Here's his answer, 33.
It's shocking, and I think we're all still in shock about what happened. And I think it's a reminder that our lives are often touched by people we never even meet. And there are millions of people, not just in Los Angeles, but around the world right now, mourning because they were inspired by what he did on the field, what he meant off the field.
I'm just going to let that hang out there for a minute.
Took me a minute.
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Because once you hear it, you can't not hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to listen to it twice. But
yeah, maybe you just should have said up front, Alfred P. Newman, that you don't know anything about sports.
And that's okay.
Kobe didn't participate on a field.
No, it was a court.
But it's pretty clear to everybody at that point that you're just making crap up because you didn't know anything about the guy or his career. It's pretty clear. All you had to say was he left it all on the court, or the things he did on the court or off the court. But nobody confuses a court with a field. You just don't.
Yeah.
It was just, I'm sorry. I was already teed off that he was on there for an hour. And then I tune in and that's what
then
I hear.
Then you start nitpicking.
Right off the bat.
It's not the N-word, though. So least there's that.
At least there's that.
I mean, he can't afford that because he already struggles, apparently, with the black vote.
I've heard.
Yeah,
Joe Biden's got that wrapped up. So Fox News, again, a little concern for them these days. They keep putting out these polls. I don't know who their polling agency is, but the poll that they put out yesterday, you know, shows that 48% of Americans or something like that want witnesses called. And sort of buying into the whole New York Times talking points to the left that because of what John Bolton alleges, nobody's seen it yet. Nobody's seen it yet. But imagine this. There's been a leak, probably from his publisher, about what's contained in his explosive new book. Did you know that oftentimes the bonus that you get paid as an author is based on the pre-sales of your book, the expected pre-orders of your book decide how big of a bonus you're going to get as an author of this explosive book. And lo and behold, they leaked out something that suggested that he's got some inside information that he could share. And now the Democrats are all on Twitter. They've got to go to, they've got to demand that we bring John Bolton before the Senate. At which point, they're just going to institute executive privilege. We know what the White House will do on this. It's a he said kind of thing. The president tweeted out this morning, never said that to John Bolton. Rudy tweeted out the same thing. This is made up to sell a book. It's odd that the New York Times, that hated John Bolton for so long, has suddenly come out and wanted to do this. So it just
that's when you know something's up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. It just all plays into the whole thing here. And I'm just, again, just disappointed in Fox News. I'm just not quite sure why they had to go where they went yesterday. In meantime, speaking of Democrats, that poll that Fox News put out says that Sanders is leading Biden in Iowa by 7 or 8 points, according to this poll, just in Iowa, among Democratic voters. Bernie Sanders is winning bigly against the expected expected leader for the Democrats. Now, this is sets up an interesting scenario here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Four Democrats are off the trail right now because of the Senate impeachment trial. Supposedly, this is supposed to give Biden a leg up. He now might lose Iowa to Sanders by a number of points. People lose Iowa and still become the presidential nominee. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But next, it goes to New Hampshire. And then there's Super Tuesday. This is setting up to be exactly what I've told people it could be. You could end up with such a divided field with victories here and victories there that by the time they get to this convention, there may not be a clear winner.
That would be crazy.
And you know who's getting the moo-moo steam cleaned right now to show up for the big event, right? Hillary.
Oh.
I'm just telling you. If this goes to a brokered convention, there will be a couple of people, including Hillary, whose names will be floated for a vote at that convention, even though she's never run a day.
We need to ask Bill about that.
And then you got you got Mike
back on here.
Then you got Mike Bloomberg running around, right?
Yeah.
So it's gonna be an interesting few months. Can we just put it that way?
I think it would be really funny if it was Hillary again.
No.
You don't think that would be hilarious?
The entertainment value would be high.
Honestly.
That's not funny at all. That's not even funny to joke about. That's disgusting.
I think it would be quite the political theater. We could have a lot of fun with it.
I couldn't stand it.
Back up, you creep. Get away from me.
Could you imagine having to listen to that for the next even short period of time?
We made it. I mean, we made it through it once. We know she can't beat him. I think it might be kind of exciting.
Here's what I hear. This is your No Hillary Minute. Could you do that for me?
So.
Could you create one of those for me?
Let me
get
just
on that.
Put that
just
on my
put,
list
write that
here.
Down in the notes. This is your number.
Sweet, thanks.
How about no? I want that at the end of it, too. Does that work?
You maybe want to hash this out off the air and talk about other stuff.
I kept my
air.
Cool, aided by a lifetime of dealing with difficult men trying to throw me off. I did, however, grip the microphone extra hard.
Yeah, so that could happen. Guess what else could happen? How would you like our streets to look like San Francisco? How would you like to have to dodge piles of human excrement when you step out of the door from your barber shop or your hair salon? That's what goes on in San Francisco every day. There's a proposal being floated by a St. Louis County councilwoman that would effectively prevent police from doing anything to vagrants. Anything. And we're going to talk more about that coming up here.
Talking to you, yeah. I have smelled alcohol on your breath.
Yeah, so how do you deal with that? How do you two deal with it when you pull up to an intersection and there's a homeless person, which happens a lot in the city? Like if you get off there at 64 and Kings Highway, there's a semi-professional that stands on that corner begging for money. Like if you're going to turn left onto Kings Highway off of 40, there's somebody standing there all the time. And it happens on a lot of street corners as you're waiting to turn right or left at a stoplight. There's somebody standing there with a sign begging for money. Downtown here, you can't walk from our building to Washington Avenue, which is two blocks, without passing people sleeping on the steps of this church over here across the street, or in the parks in the summer, or in cardboard boxes. And, you know, most of them will solicit you for money as you walk by. You can't go to the downtown McDonald's just about any time of the day without somebody, as you pull into the lot or off of the lot, stopping you and begging you for money. I understand a lot goes into the homeless problem, but how do you deal with that? Does it? I mean, are you ever? Do you lock your doors when you pull up to those stoplights? What do you worry about?
Personally, I assess the situation if it looks like somebody that isn't there all the time, because I lived down here for a long time. If it looks like somebody that isn't there all the time, the conditions look like they really could use some help. If I have some change, I'll give it to them. I'd like to say I made eye contact and tried to help more, but I don't. Like, Eddie will go buy people sandwiches and things, like doing the right thing. I usually, unfortunately, divert my eyes a lot if I don't have any money or it's the same guy over and over again, but it's something you get used to.
I don't generally have cash on me.
I'm just not, I don't carry
and that's what I'll,
cash.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just like the making eye contact then just makes it uncomfortable. So I'm like, I'm not going to roll down my window. I'm not going to talk. So, but I don't have any money. If I'm in my car, I definitely don't do anything. I just don't. Mm-hmm. But if I'm walking, if I did happen to have something in my pocket, I wouldn't hesitate to give them a, you know, dollar or two or whatever I happen to have. But I'm different. I don't know why, but I'm different from it being in my car to just like leaving a Blues game or something and there's somebody out there with, you know, a cup. If I have something, I'd do that.
Is that Hardee's still down here on the corner by Hooters?
I don't think so.
It used to be a Hardee's there, and I remember stopping in there for lunch one day, and there was somebody on the corner right outside. Hey, can you give me some money? No. But if you wait out here, I'll walk in there and buy you a sandwich and bring it back out. Walk in there, buy the guy a sandwich, walk back out, he's gone.
Yeah, some of them don't.
Because he wasn't interested in the food. Yeah. He wanted it to go buy alcohol or drugs or whatever the case is. So I know there are a lot of different things that go into that. But the fact that you feel sorry for these folks and they're homeless for a variety of different reasons, does that mean the police shouldn't be able to do something about it if they're either harassing people outside of restaurants or sleeping in front of a business that doesn't want them there anymore? Like, it's hurting business that people have decided to camp outside of this particular business. There's a proposal by a St. Louis County Councilwoman, Lisa Clancy, that's going to be considered tomorrow night at the county council meeting. And it would basically erase the current vagrancy laws, I'm told, from the books in St. Louis County specifically. So that it would basically take away the power of police to be able to do something about that. Which I think is just wrong-headed.
I don't really understand. So we're treating homeless people different than other people, and as far as like protecting them from obstructing peace? Because if I were outside somewhere and a business owner asked me to leave, the police would be able to ask me to leave.
Correct.
So is that the difference? Like they're becoming like a protected class? Because it seems like an unnecessary rule. I don't think that they, like, the police should, and not that they do, but be able to, like, push them around because they're homeless, but also they shouldn't be more protected from, like, being on property they're not supposed to be on.
They're a protected class in San Francisco. I mean, that's the problem in Los Angeles and San Francisco. They've watered down or removed the vagrancy laws. Recently, the California Supreme Court backed them up on this, so now they can do whatever they want. Live wherever they want. You're not allowed to, police aren't allowed to do anything about it. You can complain all you want. The politicians have absolutely made them a protected class. And the concern is that would be the direction you'd be heading locally if something. I'm really surprised they haven't done it in the city already, to be honest with you.
Well, how does this help the homeless population?
I'm just confused about how it's helpful or
it's not. That doesn't necessary. Sound helpful. Like, we need to come up with a solution to keep this from happening, mm-hmm. not protect them from being able to do things they're not supposed to be doing in front of a business, no matter who you are.
Later this morning, we're going to get County Councilman on here to talk about this proposal and what it would mean and why, if you think it's ridiculous, you should probably take a little time out of your schedule and show up at the County Council meeting tomorrow to voice your opinion, because that's where it's going to be debated, apparently, initially at least. I don't know if they'll take a vote tomorrow or if it's the first introduction. We'll get the latest from our friend Mark Harder on that.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.